Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Kind of nice when you have a brand new vehicle, you know it's under warranty. I like that. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which means so much. They go over every vehicle. And the service department is second to none. Great technicians. They're really good at what they do. Routine, difficult. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so Todd, what are they saying about snow in the valley?
It sounds like 6 to 10 inches right now, but...
Really?
Okay. Fingers crossed that it's not that.
Yeah. State College, we were told 4 to 8, but leaning toward like 7.
It sounds like they're, as it gets closer, they're a little less sure of exactly what it's going to be, so... Hopefully, maybe those snowfall amounts go down a little bit.
You know, it could go 20 miles to the east or 20 miles to the west. It's like, okay, great. Okay, I think I'll hedge my bets here. Look, I'm not a meteorologist. I'm barely a sportscaster. So, the weather thing, I always, I'm looking at it all the time because I travel a lot. And, I'm flying back tonight. And then I have to travel Saturday. I've got a game, the game is Sunday at noon. We're on 11:30. So I'm going to have to time it out and leave earlier on Saturday. The basketball team, believe it or not, because they're not in school, the basketball team might leave Friday to go to Philadelphia for the Sunday game. Just so that it's all safe, sound, no problem. You know what I mean? And do that. They're looking at the possibility as a team of going Friday. I was driving down anyway, but I'll go Saturday. But when I mean Saturday, look, I may leave at like 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, maybe 10, with the idea of getting there between noon and 1, right? And at that point, that's when the snow starts to really start. So in other words, trying to, get ahead of it and just go from there. Then Sunday traveling back should be okay.
It sounds like it's going to stop late at night or really early Sunday morning. So it should. The roads you'll be traveling should be okay. I don't know about the back roads once you get to State College.
Yeah. There's that one stretch on 322. The part that should be finished. God, driven that thing. For 40 years I've driven that thing, right? 40 years. Okay? Now, I remember 322, right? There's a point on 322, like you can take 11 and 15 north to Sealands Grove. There's also a part where I think you can take, there's another route you can take towards Sealands Grove, too, near Lewistown.
522.
And, right? But there used to be two-way traffic. Obviously, State College initially. Bowlesburg, Potter's Mills. Then would be four lanes. You get through Lewistown, and then the Lewistown Narrows. And that four-mile stretch of the Lewistown Narrows had so many accidents on it, and I'm talking deadly accidents.
I think it was, for a long time, it was one of the top five deadliest stretches in the country. Yeah. Used to be in Reader's Digest all the time. I'm not showing my age at all with a Reader's Digest reference, am I?
No. But you know what? But I remember Joe Paterno and I talking about it one time, and Joe said to me, you know, this is before they built anything. And he'd say, Steve, he says, that is the stretch of road I hate more than any other stretch. And I understand it. You know, you go through, it's like, oh, man. And then you'd get through, you'd have to go through Milroy two lanes, and then there were two stretches north west of Harrisburg. One was on in Dauphin, where the Hardee's is, and that was the highest grossing Hardee's in the chain for years. Because I don't know how many times I stopped there in my lifetime. Right? Because everybody stopped there. Well, I need a break. I got to get out of this thing. And there was one other stretch just past that. That was also two lanes. It was like five stretches. Well, I remember when they like four-laned that, and they four-laned through Dauphin. You know, no more going to Ulrich's restaurant, no more Hardee's. I mean, the Hardee's is still there. I don't know if Ulrich's is there or not. But it's four lanes through that. And then they four-laned Milroy. And then, I'll never forget this, and this is not to be political, please, but I'll never forget when President Clinton was trying to, he's trying to keep expenses under control or whatever. Because remember, at one point they balanced the budget, and he called the Lewistown Narrows project. It was on his list of pork barrel projects. And I looked at that and went, "Hey, yo, dog!" I said, "Why don't you and I get in the car at about 11 at night?" And what do you say we trade the 4 miles? I said, it'll be off your pork barrel list in 12 seconds. Right? And eventually they cleared it and they built it, and they did a great job with it, by the way. Then they got the Potter's Mills thing done last year. There's still that stretch of 322 between Potter's Mills and Mill Hall. We're like, okay, come on. You can finish this. I swear to you, you can. There's a 110,000-seat stadium at the end of the rainbow. Come on.
It's amazing the difference that connector between Bellefonte or I-81 out in I-80 in Bellefonte and going south to the Jordan Center has made in the travel going to Penn State.
No question. I-99?
Yes.
No question. And that's also, I think it is part of the infrastructure bill. If you're going on I-80 and you see there's a new exit at exit 163 to take you to Howard, you're like, well, why do I need that? Because they want to do a flyover. That's what they call it. A flyover that takes you from 80 directly onto 99 without having to stop and make a left. It's just, it will be a direct, like, swoop, come around, come down. Very much like State College has when you're coming in on 99, you can get onto 322 and go to Harrisburg. That kind of, even though it kind of, it gradually slopes and comes around, you never have to break speed, ever. I mean, it's and that's what they want to eventually do at 161.
As somebody that just made time back from Altoona right before Christmas for that Sealands Grove football game at about 12:30, you do not have to hit your brakes very much on that stretch.
Right, exactly. And we're talking highway stuff now. Where's the show gone? They're not talking sports. Come on. We're talking weather and travel. Come on. But everybody can relate to what I'm talking about. Everybody can relate to it. Yeah, take a 322. You're right. You know, and the weather. Oh, yeah, sure, they're going to be right. We'll see. It can change in a couple of days. Okay. Great. Yeah. All right. The new ESPN contracts, back to sports. Let's get to the part that Todd and I were real. I was shocked by this. They really made it seem, and Dawn Staley had been leading the charge on this, to separate the women's basketball tournament from the group contract. So when they announced this contract, I looked at it, and it's 8 years, $920 million, so it's $115 million a year. Okay. The last one was 12 years at $500, right? So 12 years at $500. Okay. is about $40 million a year. Okay? This one goes to $115 million a year. Now, look, $115 million a year. And I don't really know how it's... You divide that by, let's see, what are there, 130? And I don't know if they're 130 anything. But it's about $1 million. Like it's if you take if everybody got an equal cut of the 130, and it's not 130 in terms of football, but remember it can be as high as 362 for basketball, because there are as many women's basketball teams as men. Right? And think of all the other sports that go with it. You know, because this is for 40 sports. Is that right, Todd? Yeah, 40 sports.
Do they, you know, they didn't separate it, but, you know, does ESPN want those other championships? Does anybody want those other championships? And do you, and if you want to, I wonder if the contract was, you know, if you want the college women's tournament and the softball World Series, you have to show these others. And if they split it out, maybe nobody wanted the tennis.
Well, Todd, I think you make a great point. I mean, and this is a point worthy of exploring because I think it's spot on. Let's start with the other sports. I don't think there's really any bidding involved in the other sports. All right? In order to drive the number up, you have to have competition for it. So let's take Big Ten football. You add Fox, CBS, NBC. Well, the odd group out was ESPN. Well, why was ESPN the odd group out? Because the other three entities outbid ESPN. That's what competition does. When you have competition, it drives the number up. So NBC knew they had to outbid ESPN, CBS knew they had to outbid ESPN, and Fox was going to easily outbid ESPN. They've been outbidding ESPN since 2017 for the Big Ten. And that's how the number goes up. Competition drives the number up. There's no competition, and please do not get upset with me for saying this, okay? There's no competition in bidding for the NCAA Wrestling Championship. There isn't. It does very, very well on ESPN. But there's no, like, you're not sitting there. Fox doesn't have, I mean, you know, Fox isn't going to CBS, NBC, Turner, whatever. They're not going to bid for it. Right? They're concentrating on the NFL. They're concentrating on the NBA. They're concentrating on the Big Ten, there. You see what I mean? You know, they've got their resources already channeled. They're not going to bid for the NCAA Wrestling Championship. So it's in the group. So now let's get to the Women's Basketball Championship. There's been such a push to separate it out. And the push has come from the women's coaches. But when it came up last year, Todd, I said on the show, and again, I'm trying to take everything from a common sense, logical point of view. In other words, no emotion involved here. Right? Dawn Staley not only has an investment, but she has a ton of emotion invested in her sport that she loves so much. So I completely understand where she's coming from. Okay? I know you do too. But when you remove the emotion from it, and let's take it from a common sense point of view, I asked the question on the air. It wasn't the question I asked, it was the statement I made. The statement I made was, in order to drive the number up, you have to have competing bids. Are there competing bids for it? And I don't think there are. And it's not the Final Four I'm talking about. If you put the Final Four out as a separate entity in women's basketball, I think you would have competing bids, right? But when you're bidding on the tournament, you're bidding on the whole tournament. Now, do I have the avenue to carry the whole tournament? Well, if I'm Fox, I've got Fox, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2. And do I have enough runways to land every game?
You also have to take into consideration as well as, you know, Fox, NBC, and ABC also have their primetime schedules, so they don't have that, sometimes don't have that 8 to 11 window to put games in that ESPN does as well.
Right. So, I think what happened is this. I think they quietly put out feelers to see if they could get multiple bidders on it. And I'll go way back. There was a great story on Deb Gelman, who has been at CBS Sports now for more than 30 years. And Deb does a lot of great work and is considered to be one of the top producers at CBS. Well, Deb used to be our intern at Channel 3 in State College. And I remember talking to Deb at the 1991 NCAAs. I'm sorry, that's wrong. It was the 2001 NCAAs. And we were talking about CBS bidding for the women's tournament, and they put in a bid for it, but ESPN beat them out. And I don't think they have bid for it since, Todd. They have not bid for the NCAA women's tournament since. And the NCAA Women's Tournament has been a part of this total package. And I think what happened, and it's just a guess on my part, but I'm trying to put two and two together to equal four here. And some people may be saying, oh, great, Steve's going to make two and two equal five. But I'm putting two and two together to equal four. When I see this agreement, I'm guessing that they put out feelers as to who would bid on the women's tournament. And they found out that ESPN was going to bid on the women's tournament and that ESPN was going to bid on the women's tournament. And that was it. That NBC was not going to bid for it. Fox was not going to bid for it. CBS, Turner Discovery, Amazon Prime, they were not going to bid on it. Because in other words, you're not just getting the Final Four. You have to get all of it. And ESPN, by the way, does an outstanding job of covering all of it. Between ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU. I don't know if they use ESPN News for it or not. They might. Right? Because it's the first round in particular, you need every outlet possible to carry 32 games. That's hard. 16 games a day. Yet that the outlets to do it, and I don't think, because they were, what were they saying? What was the number they were saying, Todd, that they could get for the NCAA women's tournament? I'll have to look it. I'll look it up to see what NCAA women's tournament estimate. That's what I'll do. NCAA, because I thought it was like $115 million. I think they thought they could.
Yeah, I was going to say it was. I think it was at least $100 million.
Yeah. NCAA women's basketball tournament. TV. How about TV dollars? I'll try that. TV dollars. Of course, it'd help if I could spell dollars, right? Two L's? Yeah, thanks. Of course, all thumbs do.
There's
one.
An A in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the women's tournament, now it's going to depend on percentage, okay? Right now, the women's tournament on the current contract is given 16%, right, of the money. So if you take $115 million, and divide it by 16%. So it's $115 million a year, correct? So let's just keep the percentage the same. 115 times 0.16 equals, that's 18.4 million of it would go to the women's tournament. And let's divide it by, what's the number to divide it by? Everybody gets a cut. So let's divide it by, how do I divide it by?
360?
You can't divide it by 64.
Well, no, 360? There's 364 or something like that?
Let's divide it by conferences, 32. All right? Let's do that. Because then, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it depends on participants. Right? And you're talking $575,000 per conference. Okay. So let's divide that further. Divide it by 14, and that's $41,000. Now, you look at the NCAA wrestling tournament, and you've got to look at all the line items because, you know, some, I don't know how much of it, I mean, you try to do is, you know, I mean, you know what, based on the line items, okay, all right, the line item, you know what Penn State under the line item gets for the NCAA wrestling championship? $45,000. Penn State won one A round and got to the second round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. That was worth $700,000 for the weekend. Right? Now, that goes into a pot. Okay? And not only that, you get 6 years worth of units out of it, so it ends up being about $4.2 million when it's all said and done. And that is part of, and it's divided out every year among the 14 schools, soon to be 18. Right, that's the kind of money you can make from the NCAAs. Now, the bowl season and college football makes exponentially more money. But they get 16. Yeah, I don't really know how to divide it out. Because I don't want to divide it out by 64. No, I mean, just for the heck of it, we'll divide it out by 64, right? And then that would be whatever share goes to whatever conference. So it's 115 divided by 64 equals 1.8 million. Well, no offense, that's not a lot, you know. That's more money, but it's not more money. You know what I mean?
It's more money, but it's not a lot of money.
No, I mean, on a relative scale.
Yeah.
On a relative scale.
That doesn't even pay for a season's worth of travel, does it?
No. Yeah, I want to delve more into this because I think it's fascinating. And again, when I give you the... when I give you the NCAA wrestling number, again, it's on the line item of the budget numbers put out, expense revenue at Penn State. That's how I have the number. Yeah, the women's basketball thing is... This contract's fascinating because of that. They're getting more money, and they're saying women's sports drove it. But they went from $500 million to $920 million, but they added more sports in.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory with the great warranties they also deliver. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Great service department. Routine, difficult to handle it all. By the way, You use that Sunbury Motors service department, your vehicle's in great shape when you trade it in for your next SMC vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so this is how it did break down. It's $115 million a year. The valuation of the women's tournament, which they claim they could get between $90 and $110 million. The valuation in this deal is $65 million. Okay? To keep it part of the bundle. All this was done, Todd, during ESPN's exclusive negotiating window. That tells me everything. In other words, I think they put out feelers and found out nobody else was going to bid. So let's get it done during the exclusive negotiating period and go from there. They got into serious negotiations in October, and it didn't take long to get it done.
Okay.
But again, you have to have bidders. You can tell they didn't have bidders. You can tell. But the women's tournament gets valued at $65 million. It's always been interesting with this because... I'm just going to say it straight out, right? Based on my sources, okay? And they're really good ones, by the way. I'm not going to say who. That's okay. But what is the single biggest money-losing proposition in the NCAA organization? What loses more money than anything else? Like, doesn't profit, but loses money. It's the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. They actually lose more money on that, right, than anything else they do. I mean, do you think they're making money on the NCAA Cross Country Championship? Of course not. But you need to have it. Right, so this will help close some of that gap, right? Because the men's tournament makes money hand over fist, and both these contracts, by the way, run out at 2032. Okay, which 2032 then means it's going to be open season on bidding, and who knows what the media landscape is like. All right, but there's been certain things that have been done. Remember the 2021 tournament, San Antonio, Indianapolis. And they kept showing, like, here's the weight room, right? Here are the meals. Here's the swag. Look at the difference between the two. Remember that? And it was made a big deal out of it. Are you being distracted by the suit there, Todd?
No, I was just going to say, I do remember that.
Okay. And Sedona Prince put out on TikTok about, look at this. But nobody ever followed up to find out what the deal was. I would admit, there's been poor reporting on this. Again, back to people that I know. All right? People I know. So this is not, I'm not guessing here. The men's tournament committee went to the NBA and they said, in the bubble in Orlando, what did you do? Because we've never done this before. Okay? And they said, well, look, you need to, we set it up this way with the hotels. We set it up this way with the, in terms of getting people in and out. Everything that was set up, we'd set it up with meals like this, so on and so forth. Right? Okay. And then they said, okay, now we're going to get swag. Right? They offered the women's committee the same swag. Look, instead of buying 64 of them or 68 of them, let's buy 132 of them. Right? Let's get it all done at once. The women's committee rejected it, Todd. They said, no, hey, look, what you give to guys shouldn't be the same thing you give to, which, okay, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We think women would prefer whatever. But they're the ones that, because they were offered the same thing for everybody. Did anybody ever report that? Nope. But they were offered the same. And of course, it's a narrative now. Everybody's bought into it. The whole thing. I mean, come on, yeah, everybody, think for yourselves. Okay. Just because it's a narrative doesn't mean it's right. Right? They were offered both, and the women's committee said, no, we want to get our own, and for good reasons. But then they came up with that, and then they said, look, see, the men got this, and we got that. The men's committee had nothing to do with it. They offered it to them. They said, no, okay, what are you supposed to do, force it? Like, okay, you guys do what you want to do. Did the women's committee contact the WNBA to ask how they set up Bradenton?
I'm guessing no.
Yeah, my information was no. Right? See, that's what the men's committee said, look, we don't know how to do this. So they got a hold of the NBA. How do you do this, 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 this? Everybody was on their own. And everybody's like, look what the men get. Hey, whoa. Hey, yo. At some point, you got to do your job. You have to do your job. And as a group, right, the wrong group got criticized. But the narrative, you can't change the narrative. It's a narrative. It's got to be right. Nah, most narratives are not right. I mean, most narratives are not right. Okay? And I can tell you right now, I can go back 11 and a half years, and I can tell you right now one that was absolutely not right. All right? Been around it. Seen it. And this was one of them. Like, oh, the disgrace between them. Look, you got to delve deeper. Talk to the right people. I'm not going to tell you the people I talked to, but these are people that worked. I mean, the men's tournament committee felt so betrayed by the NCAA because they got thrown under the bus by Mark Emmert. He threw them under the bus instead of explaining what they did. The wrong group got blamed. And when it comes to the money part of it, nobody ever tells you how much money is lost on the women's tournament financially. Why do you think they're still playing home games in the first two rounds? I mean, it took a long time for the men's tournament to do it, all right? I mean, the men's tournament wasn't until the early 80s they got off-campus sites. Took them a long time to do it, to get it to whole thing neutral. So it does take time to do it. But nobody ever talks about the money lost on this tournament. There's a lot of money lost in the tournament. Right? Dawn Staley doesn't tell you that, nor should she. It's not her job to do it. Right? And she's trying to promote her sport, not tear it down. And I'm not trying to tear it down. I'm just telling you that that is actually an issue, that getting more money for this whole package is a big plus for the NCAA because they're trying to balance the books if they can on it. So getting the 115 and upping the women's cut to $65 million, it goes a long way to doing that. It goes a long way to doing it. But it's still not a self-sufficient tournament. Now, maybe this makes it a self-sufficient tournament. Maybe it does. You know, they talk about, you know, do we start doing units for advancing and so forth? Yeah, that's tricky. That's tricky. But, you know, like something as simple as the branding of March Madness, that should have been done a long time ago. I mean, the women's tournament should have had the March Madness label a long, long time ago, no question. I mean, it doesn't mean the NCAA's handled it right the entire time, but, don't blame men's basketball. I always love that. Look, what they do wrong. They offered you the same gifts. You said no. Okay? They went to the NBA to set it up. You didn't want to hear what they had to do. Okay? And they got thrown under the bus. Really. That's great. Can't wait to work for an organization like that. See what I'm saying, Todd? I mean, they got thrown under the bus because it was convenient to do.
It's not the first group of people to get thrown under the bus by the NCAA.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Now, hopefully this $65 million valuation in this 115 goes a long way to balancing it out. And again, the women's Final Four has been sold out, left and right. And now they're getting big, you know, they got huge TV ratings for the championship game. It was great. The NCAA Wrestling Championships gets really good ratings. Really good ratings. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship gets really good ratings. You know, and women's soccer does well. The softball championship, which you referenced, is off the charts. I mean, the softball championship, tell me I'm wrong about this, Todd. I think the softball championship gets more viewers than the College World Series.
It does, and I was just going to say, I've probably paid more attention to the Women's College World Series the last few years than I did to the College Baseball World Series.
It's a fun game. It's a fun game. It's quick. It keeps going. There's a lot of movement. You know, the pitching. I mean, it's really. So that is. That's interesting. But, I mean, you got to write the whole story about what's going on here. And that to me, is the issue. Write the whole story as to what's going on. Now, the NCAA probably doesn't release the financials on it. But I've been told, not once, Todd, if I've been told 30 or 40 times, not once, like 30 or 40 times, that's the biggest money loser in the NCAA grouping. Because, look, there are a lot more moving parts with it, too. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you just getting some of those smaller schools to some of the on-campus sites can't be easy, yeah. Let alone a neutral
right.
site.
Exactly. There's a lot of moving parts with it. So, I mean, it does take a lot to put together a 64-team tournament in the first two rounds. So, you know, it's been smart to use home sites. That way, you know, it'll help in terms of drawing a crowd. It also means there's no travel for one of the four teams that happens to be. You know what I mean? So there's a lot, you know, they're trying to be smart about it. All right? This $65 million advancement, so they're going from... So let me see something here. Let's do something else with the world-famous calculator. I've used the calculator a lot today. So what is 65 into 115? So 65 million valuation of the 115 per year. Okay, that doesn't help. Come on, Steve. Stop using your thumbs. So you're going to get 56% of it. Which is up. That's up from 16%.
Makes it sound like that if you wanted that, you had to take everything else, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But again, I think what happened was quite simply this. They put some feelers out as to who would bid, and they found out nobody would, so they wanted to get this done in the exclusive negotiating period. Women's basketball got its proper... I don't know if it's proper, but got a much bigger valuation than before, which is, you know, they've, you know, through a lot of hard work and marketing, they've earned it. And obviously, great play. They've earned it. All right? But they didn't get a separate deal out of it. And I think they didn't get a separate deal out of it because of the lack of bidders. And there's a tap-out issue here, too, Todd. When you're looking at, and I pointed this out many, many times, I'm sitting there and we're in a network executive office, and I've got everybody in there. Okay, what should we bid on? Okay, it is January 4th, 2024. What should we bid on? All right. How many hands would go up saying we should bid on the NBA?
All of them.
How many hands say we should bid on the college football playoff?
All of them.
All right. Okay. Now, Notre Dame's off the table now because NBC re-upped with Notre Dame. Okay. And now I'm looking around and saying, okay, what else is there to bid on? If I'm going to throw my resources into the college football playoff and I'm going to throw my resources into attempting to bid for the NBA, what do I have left to bid on the women's basketball championship?
Not a lot.
Right. Now, it's not going to be at the same number. You know, I mean, let's take the current numbers for the NBA. ESPN right now is paying $1.4 billion a year, and Turner's paying $1.2 billion a year. Okay. Now, in order to stay in the ball game, they're both going to have to bid more than that in the next round. The college football playoff is a 12-year deal. And it's a 12-year deal at, let's see, I think it's $500 million. Let me see. College football playoff TV deal. Not ratings. Ratings are good. It is $470 million. So it's close. $500 million. Okay. The Power Five conferences gets $92 million. The group, let's see. No. The Power Five conferences get a baseline of $67 million. The other five conferences share $92 million, something like that. So they want to double that. So they want to go from $470 million to try, in the next contract, get $1 billion. Okay? All right? $1 billion per year. Well, if I'm bidding, if I'm trying to get this to $1 billion per year, I mean, that's a lot. And then the NBA wants to triple its number. They publicly stated they want to triple their number. So by tripling their number, they would go from $2.6 billion up to between $7 and $8 billion. Now, in the end, Todd, I think they'll double it. They'll get like $5.5 billion per year. But those are gigantic numbers. What's left after everything you've bid on? I've bid on college football. I've bid on Major League Baseball. I've bid on the NHL. I've bid on the NFL. I mean, Amazon Prime's paying $1 billion a year for Thursday Night Football. ESPN pays $2.7 billion a year for Monday Night Football. Okay? A game a week. Now, I would like to point out that $500 million of that per year gives them unlimited access to all the highlights. So it's a kind of a, it's, that's the grouping in there. But you see where I'm going. Okay, how much money do you have left? You have to be smart about where you bid.
It's, you know, people talk about this all the time, but I just find it hard to believe that these rights fees keep going up and up and up. Like, it's got to burst sometime. I mean, it hasn't yet, but you got to figure it's got to burst sometime.
Well, I'll tell you right now, where they're cutting back is on production stuff. Yeah, maybe not use 8 cameras, we'll use 6. You know? How do we take care of audio? There's a little tiny cutbacks here and there that are happening for them to make ends meet. Because, and then what does streaming mean to all this? Or as the Sioux would say, streaming. He always tells me about streaming numbers. Okay, I said we're streaming. You know me. I'm like, okay, really? Not quite in the sophisticated world he's in. I'm like, okay. Oh, we're talking cash today, buddy.
Lots of it.
And I'm trying to figure out when we're seeing it.
Yeah, well, there's that part of it too.
All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK, okay? Okay, basketball tonight. The basketball game's on Peacock tonight. Have you watched any games on Peacock, Todd?
It's one of the streaming services I don't have.
Okay. I had not, and it turned out that somebody I know has a Peacock subscription, so the game between the Bills and the Chargers, I watched. And I'll say this, last year Amazon Prime, and I mentioned this on the broadcast many times, would get the aggravating circle. This year on Amazon Prime, not once all season did on my TV did the aggravating circle come up. Not once. It was smooth the entire time. I watched the Chargers-Bills game. Every time I turned around, now maybe it's my set, reception, whatever, it came up like 2 or 3 times a quarter. I'm like, oh, here's the circle. Great. Then I look up on my phone. Hey, they ran 3 plays and got a touchdown. hopefully they'll get that straightened out. But it's Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel tonight. Talk to them today at Shoot-Around. Okay, back tomorrow from the Suits Lair.